All right, Adventure Family, good morning. Scott here. Welcome to week three of Jonah, trusting in God's plans, learning to trust in God's plans. I'm joined today by my nephews, Connor on your right, Caleb on your right, Connor on your left. And this is a fun weekend because Jonah experienced something that one of our favorite Star Wars characters experienced this weekend, and I'm talking about Mandalorian. I'll get there in just a moment. The question we're going to ask and answer this morning is this: what do you do when life swallows you up? This is what was Jonah's experience. What do you do when life swallows you up? Personally, when life swallows me up, I like to go for a run and then sometimes follow it by too many almond snacks. When life swallows me up, sometimes I want to take a nap and sometimes I want to find out what I need to do to work harder. I don't know about you. That's me. What do you do when life swallows you up? Listen, over the weekend on Friday night, starting Friday night, this is a spoiler alert. If you have not seen episode 3, please leave the room. Episode 3, Season 2, Mandalorian featured a moment when this happened. And I'm just going to ask Mandalorian Junior here, Connor, what's happening in this scene right here that we're all looking at?
Baby Yoda is trapped in this big monster that's about to eat him.
Baby Yoda, trapped in this big monster that's about to eat him. So here's the first trivia question for the weekend. What is the name, boys, don't share it. What is the name of that sea monster? I'll be looking in the YouTube thread for your answer. There's a $5 gift certificate for whoever comes up with it. So Baby Yoda gets swallowed up in this sea monster, and yet there's an incredible result of this. Mandalorian meets the heiress of the Mandalore. This gal has a vision of actually being the ruler of all the Mandalorians. How strange that a woman would want to rule all the men. Awkward. On my left, your right, I'm just going to ask Connor, if you would. Caleb, I don't know why I'm doing this, guys. I'm forgetting your names. I apologize. Caleb, I'm just going to ask you, do you know the name? Do you know anything about this gal?
Her name is Lady Bo-Katan.
Okay. Okay. And do you know where she rules?
Mandalore.
Very good. And her desire is to rule all the Mandalore. Mm-hmm. Crazy, isn't it? Yeah, I know. All right, these women. Hey, would you give a hand for the boys? Thank you for their work. Thank you, Caleb. Thank you, Connor. This is the way. This is the way. Yes. This is the way. Thank you, guys. Hey, what do you do when life swallows you up? What do you do when you're experiencing this kind of swallowing like Jonah experienced? Here's some of the stories I've heard in the last couple weeks. Folks are feeling swallowed up because of decision fatigue. I personally get swallowed up by the inability to make plans, and I no doubt think you experience the same. I know folks are being swallowed up by the loss of income, by the loss of work. Folks are being swallowed up by, in some cases, difficult medical, surgical procedures that are pending. Folks get swallowed up by the loss of human life. We've seen our broader Adventure Family experience that kind of loss. I don't know about you, but sometimes you wonder, how do I get through this feeling, this emotion of being swallowed up? And what we learned from Jonah is that God stepped into Jonah's life and literally disrupted his life to get him back on course. And you can see in this map that Jonah was called by God from the Galilean area to go north to the capital of Assyria, Nineveh. It's about 500 miles northeast. Jonah didn't want to go because Jonah did not want to be an ambassador of mercy, compassion, and love to people he knew were brutal. And so he decided to go down, as we talked about last week, to go down to Joppa to board a ship and then go down into the bottom of the ship and to get under the blankets and take a long nap instead of doing what God wanted him to do. He wanted to go to Spain, and I mentioned last week, beautiful choice. The Balearic Islands that I've seen on Google are amazing. So give the guy some credit for his great choice. But God stepped in and disrupted his life. Let me just ask you, does this not feel like a global disruption? Is it not possible that God's trying to get all of us, all of our nations, all of our countries, all of our cities, all of our communities, all of our families, all of our marriages, all of our relationships back on his plan? And his plan for Jonah in this season was a plan to be an ambassador of love, grace, and mercy. I think that's a plan we all need to get on right now. And I'm going to show you how Jonah survived being swallowed up in a whale. And I think you're going to have some good application that'll help you. Here's Jonah's prayer, 10 verses-ish in chapter 2. I'm just going to read it for you. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. This is his first prayer of the book. He said, "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, 'I've been banished from your sight. Yet I will look again toward your holy temple.' The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit." And then this is the transitional verse, verse 7. "When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord." He has a moment here where it is brought to his memory, the compassion, the mercy of his Lord. "And my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love from them." Boy, there's application for us there. "But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say salvation comes from the Lord," or Yeshua comes from the Lord. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. It got messy. So Jonah prays here. Let's take just a quick peek at his prayer and then look at how we deal with being swallowed up by life. His prayer, he was emotionally distressed, physically defeated, and spiritually depressed. He had everything going against him, and you can understand why. So understand, Hebrew culture, Hebrew literature taught that the sea was actually likened to the great abyss, likened to the deep, likened to Sheol. Sheol is for the pre-Christ believers and non-believers, was a place divided up into two compartments. One compartment was Abraham's bosom, a place of comfort, and the other compartment was considered hell for non-believers awaiting judgment. And as far as Jonah is concerned, as he's sinking into the deep of the Mediterranean, he's in Sheol. He has no idea he's in a fish. He has no idea that what's going on. But as far as he's concerned, he's dying and he's probably moving in and out of cognizance. He's completely distressed, defeated, and depressed. Let me just pause. Could you honestly say you're at that spot now? Can you identify with Jonah and say, "I get that. I'm feeling that right now. I don't know which direction my life's headed." And I want to tell you, if that's you, you're in a good place for God to get you on his plan. That's where the joy is. That's why Jonah prayed. Here's how Jonah prayed. Jonah called out honestly to God. He recalled the character of God. We're going to teach that a little bit this morning. He shouted out praise for God, and he declared the salvation of God. That's the order of this poetic reading. That's how Jonah prayed. This is what God did for Jonah. And this is how I imagine and how I've experienced God working in my life. Here it is. God orchestrated his overboard. This overboard was all God's doing. This disruption, the storm, the crew, the dissension into the depths of the Mediterranean, the seaweed wrapped around him, entangling him, the whale that swallowed him in the darkness for 3.5 days. This was all God's doing, all God set up to get Jonah back on his plan, plan A. Are you experiencing a season like that, where God's perhaps orchestrating disruption to get you back, and better than where you were back in February? You know, we're 8 months into this. Is he trying to get you back and better? I think so. God answered his anxiety. He feels distressed and banished from God's presence. God brought him back from the brink, and God proved to him his power. This is where we actually, if we back up, we can observe God uses creation to control all of the elements here, to control all the details happening in Jonah's life. And if God can control the creation around our life events, he can control all circumstances that we're facing. And here's the key. It's verse 7. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord. I love that. Do you have moments that you remember where you remember the Lord, his love, his grace? Do you have memories, even in the past, where you just, you enjoyed the love of the Lord and that was enough? It fully satisfied you. Jonah here is remembering the Lord. He would admit he's been stuck in liturgy, stuck in religion, and he's forgotten the love of the Lord. We'll talk about that here in just a moment. And so this is Jonah's prayer. This is how he prayed. This is why he prayed. This is how God answered his prayers. And now I want to look at what to do when life swallows you up. And I know I've got friends that are facing the loss of their business right now. I cannot imagine what restaurant owners are thinking and doing right now in that. Although they're able to offer outdoor service, it's getting a little chilly to be able to do that for their guests. I went out to dinner Thursday night, and in a large outdoor dining space. My family and I, we were one of five customers in a place that would seat probably 50. And I just thought, wow, what an incredible disruption. How do we use these disruptions for God's purposes? Here's how I think we do it. Number one, we remember that God hears. He hears. Jonah experienced that. Jonah was experiencing the realm of the dead. As far as he's concerned, Jonah is in Sheol. Jonah's in the abyss. He's probably, like most Hebrews, not a swimmer. And so to be underwater is petrifying. Have you ever been with someone that actually doesn't know how to swim or has had some sort of early life trauma and they're petrified of going underwater? I've seen this before, and it's really startling how scary water can be. Well, Jonah's not in a 4-foot, 5-foot pool. Jonah's in the Mediterranean. No doubt, hundreds and hundreds of meters deep. He's sinking down, and he is feeling like he's in the realm of the dead. He has no idea if he's in a fish. He has no idea what's going on. But he's cognizant of what's going on. And this is what I want to suggest, is that when you're experiencing this kind of distress, this kind of anxiety, I just want to encourage you to know the why behind it. Sometimes I think the why behind it is captured in these words. It's as if this disruption comes from our Lord the Disruptor, and he says this: listen, I'm going to disrupt your life because I want to get you back on track. I'm going to disrupt your life because I want to get you back on track. Adam, I'm going to ask if you would you please put up that map here just for 1 second? Click it for me. I'm going to disrupt your life because I want to get you back on track. And I don't know about you, but perhaps you can relate to Jonah in that, you were doing well. You were in community with other believers. You were in the Word regularly. You loved to come and worship. You loved for your kids to have an experience with other kids, your students to have an experience with other students. You loved to pray with your spouse, and you loved those quiet times where you were spending time listening to God in prayer and in the Word of God. And maybe that was you back in Galilee. But in the last 7 months, you've had this, you've been totally disrupted, and now you're like, I'm headed to Tarshish. I'm out of here. I want to be in those Mediterranean islands. I want comfort. And there's nothing wrong with comfort. But the best comfort comes when you let God disrupt you and get you back on track. Thank you, Adam. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord. Actually, take me up to the application, Adam, if you would, in point one. So here's, when it comes to praying and when it comes to remembering that God hears, I just want to challenge you. Be brutally honest with God in prayer. Be brutally honest with God in prayer. Pray directly. You know that there's a child that you're acquainted with in your extended family that is terminal, and you're very concerned. You say, God, please rescue the life of this child. Please comfort his or her parents. You know someone who's lost a family member in the last year. You pray, God, please comfort this family. Maybe you pick up the phone, and let me tell you, folks love to be connected with. You don't have to have the right words. Reach out and say, hey, thinking of you, how are you? When you're looking for God to open up a door in your career, you say, God, if it's your will, you open this door. And what I believe is when the timing's right, the doors fly open. That's how God works. He hears your prayer, and he'll provide the vehicle, the transportation, the whale, the big fish, to get you back on plan. But he's waiting to hear from you. Jonah wasn't one to pray frequently. This is his first time. Are you like Jonah? You just need to say to the Lord, God, please show me what I'm supposed to do, and I'll follow. And he will end your disruption and move you forward. That's the first step in surviving this life when it gets swallowed up. The second is this. Remember who God is. Jonah said, I have been banished from your sight. Banished from your sight. This is this kind of experience of feeling like God is completely absent, completely uninvolved, disconnected to what's going on. He's experiencing in the Mediterranean this incredible loneliness. And let me just say for a moment, this is a picture of the kind of loneliness that Jesus experienced on the cross. Just as he was dying and gave up his life, breathed his last, he experienced this sense of abandonment. In fact, Jesus actually references Jonah's experience as the one he's going to experience, and I'll talk about that here in just a moment. Jonah had to, however, remember who God is. In fact, he ends with a little hope here. He says, yet I will look again towards your holy temple. He had hope that he would see the land again. God's goodness, God's character. Have you ever thought about God's character? His incredible, unchanging character. It's what we can hold on to, especially in a culture where character doesn't seem to really matter. Here, God's character matters big time. And this is what we can learn. When we remember who God is, here's just a few attributes of God for us to think on. Number one is God is immutable. He's unchanging. He's reliable. He is the same. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Our God is consistent. His character is dependable. His yes is yes. His no is no. Secondly, our God is omnipresent. He sees you. He sees you when you're feeling unseen. I remember when Hagar was dismissed from Abraham, Hagar and her son Ishmael, and there was a moment where God reached out to Hagar, who was having to leave her husband with her son in Genesis, and she recognized that God actually had his eyes on her, even though she wasn't and her son wasn't the chosen heir. And God is described as the God who sees me. Hagar recognized that. He's the God who sees me. And your God sees you. He sees what you're going through. And he wants to hear you. He wants you to be able to depend on his character to get you back on plan A. And then this last piece is, your God is benevolent. We love this. He's generous. He's the good, good father from whom every good and perfect gift flows. He's got great motives that are always good. But in Jonah's place, he doesn't like this piece of God because God wants to show his benevolence to people Jonah doesn't like. Again, that may not be clear for you. Jonah is being asked to be an ambassador of God's benevolence to people Jonah doesn't like. And we live in a culture right now, honestly, that needs to practice this kind of character of God, where we show benevolence and generosity and grace to people with whom we may not agree, and to pray for them and to love them unconditionally. How come? Because this shows God's character. Our God is benevolent. See, in Jonah, this was his experience. So Jonah's really not known for having accomplished that much as a prophet in Galilee. When I say Galilee, I mean where Jesus was raised, where he did ministry in Cana and Capernaum, where he lived outside of the Sea of Galilee in Nazareth. This is where Jonah was raised. But God didn't call Jonah to do what he wanted to do. God called Hosea to do what Jonah wanted to do. See, Hosea was called to actually judge, to come down hard on the northern tribes of Israel. These are those tribes that were separated from the southern tribes of Judah after the death of Solomon. And Hosea was called to pronounce judgment on the wickedness of the northern tribes and tell them that the Assyrians are coming and they're going to judge us. They're going to take us captive, and we're going to be exiled for 70 years up to Assyria. This was the mission of Hosea. That's the mission Jonah wanted, but he didn't get it. You ever feel like God's asked you to do something that isn't what you wanted, but he gave it to somebody else? That's what's happening here. Jonah, instead, is being asked to be an ambassador of hope and mercy to people that are going to judge his people. And it gets worse. I mean, he's actually asked, after he's captured by this whale and he spat out on the beach on the shore, he actually has to walk north of where these Assyrians will actually travel, not far from his own home country of Israel. He's got to show mercy and grace when his contemporary gets to show judgment. And I think what's really important here is to realize that God's motives are always good. They're always good. In fact, let me just say, this is a picture of the gospel. Jesus himself said this in Matthew chapter 12. He likened his own ministry to the ministry of Jonah. That he was coming to actually not judge, but to bring grace and compassion and mercy to the whole world, especially to the Assyrian Gentile world. Now, his judgment was harsh on actually Israel, but the outcome of his crucifixion and death and resurrection would result in us here in Natomas coming to faith. God had a plan to use Jonah. There's several details in this narrative that really match with Jesus' experience. Jonah, like Jesus, was 3.5 days in the belly of the whale. Jesus was 3 days in the belly of Sheol. He actually went to Sheol and preached and brought out the believers and brought them with him. And in the same way that Jonah was spat out on the shore, Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, was raised from the dead. And that was going to be an incredible, extraordinary event that would mark Christianity and give us great hope. God had this plan long before Jesus came. 800 years ago, he gives us this. 800 years before Jesus came, he gives us this picture. God has good motives. And I just want to say, God has good motives for the disruptions he's bringing in your life. The question is, will you trust him? Will you trust him? And I encourage you, as you navigate through whatever disruption you're facing, won't you be a learner who looks to God? Won't you be a learner who looks to God? Third and final, here it is. The third and final way that we endure life when it swallows us up is remember what God has done. Remember what God has done. This is a great season for this as we approach Thanksgiving. Take moments each and every day to say thank you, God, for what you've done. I want to say thank you right now. I want to say thank you to all of our workers that are setting up for today's outdoor service. I want to say thank you to God for our elders that are leading us so well through this difficult time. They're making great decisions that are God-honoring, God-fearing, and we're being blessed as a result. And I give God the praise for the eldership we have. I'm grateful we've got a 54-degree weather. I'm thrilled, and it's sunny. There's not a better day to be outside this fall. We get it today, and we have our largest group ever signed up for outdoor services today. Come on! That's worth giving thanks and praise for. Whoever saw this coming, that 8 months after our lockdown, we'd be outside. I think it's awesome. Give God praise and thanks for what he's doing. So this is what Jonah says. He says that those who cling to worthless idols, turn away from, read that with me, God's love for them. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, when we focus there, we're turning away from God's love. I love this. Jonah is reconnected to God's love, and that's enough. God's love is enough for him. And then he says this. He says, what I have vowed, I will make good. What this means is twofold. This means, and I'm not trying to slap this on you. This is biblical interpretation. What he's saying is, I will follow through with my tithes and offerings. I will follow through with the service that you've called me to because I've seen your love. I've seen your goodness. I think it's really important. Seeing God's love and seeing his goodness in your disruption is what will make you want to follow through with what you said you were going to do in every situation. And then he ends with this. Salvation comes from the Lord. Salvation comes from the Lord. And if we translate that Hebrew word, it's salvation that comes from Yeshua. And Yeshua is that Hebrew word from which the name Joshua, from which the name Jesus is derived. Salvation comes from Jesus. Salvation comes from Jesus. Jesus is the one that saves us, and Jesus is the one who chooses, by the Father's authority, who he's going to save. And I think this is a real admission on Jonah's part. He never imagined that God would care about the Assyrians, and God did. Who are the Assyrians in your life? Who are the Assyrians in your life? How about if we all just agree that salvation comes from Yeshua, salvation comes from Jesus, and he very well may want you to be an ambassador of hope and mercy and compassion to people like the Assyrians that you don't have any compassion for. And yet, we have to remember that when Jonah got out of this whale, I don't even think he knew he was in a whale for 3.5 days. How do you know you're in a whale, really? I mean, it's kind of hard to figure out. Most of us don't have anything to compare it to. But when Jonah got out of that whale after 3.5 days, he had some empathy, some compassion, some understanding of what Sheol for unbelievers might be like, what hell might be like. And he could understand he didn't even want those lowly Assyrians to experience it. You know, let me just pause here for a moment. I think there's way more going on in America than politics. I think forevers are at stake. And I'm willing to, I want a fair vote, and I'll pray for whoever our leaders are. Honestly, I don't care. But what I do care about is forevers. And I hope you're on board with that. I hope your deepest desire is that you get to be a part of changing forevers, of bringing hope, of bringing salvation, because salvation comes from Jesus. And that's what Jonah got to bring the Assyrians. So Jonah really models something here. He was public in his praise. Public in his praise. Super, super grateful. Boy, I hope that you can do that. And even do it around non-believers. Don't be completely weird. But Don't hesitate to give praise to God. Don't. Especially when God shows you great grace. God shows you great, great grace. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. You know what this says to me? This says to me that when God disrupts our lives and we get back on his plan, getting right with God can be messy. Jonah never lost his position before God as a loved soul. When we allow our lives to head to Tarshish, when we allow our lives to get completely derailed and start following the lust of our eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, we don't lose our position of being God's child, deeply loved by him at all. But we put ourselves in a position where he's going to act and he's going to make a way for us to get back on his plan. That's what he did here for Jonah. And it's messy, but there's nothing like getting back on his plan. And some of you might be thinking, you know what? I hate disruptions. I don't like all this. Let me share with you the story that I heard about this janitor who was working at St. Peter's Cathedral in Neville Square, London. And he was approached by the priest who recognized that his custodian, his janitor, was illiterate. And for some weird reason, the priest fired him because he discovered he was illiterate. I don't get that, but he was fired. Well, he had enough savings that he started a tobacco store and ended up franchising several tobacco stores and started making good money and was really enjoying life. Someone caught up to him and said, "Hey, sir, imagine what you could have been had you been literate." And he said, "Yeah, I could have been a janitor at St. Peter's Cathedral in Neville, London, and totally missed out on this new life, this new entrepreneurship that I've been introduced to." Yeah, without a disruption, we could be in a way worse situation. Disruptions have great value. Your life's been disrupted, perhaps in some way. My hope is that you'll let God use the disruption to get you back on his plan, his plan A. If you've never made a decision to trust in Jesus, that you'll do that today. You'll place your faith in Christ. I want to pray for your life and the disruptions you're facing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for disrupting our lives because they're the way you get us back on track. Help us see your plan A. Help us get back on track with you. Help us remember your love and use your love in our lives to help us follow through with our commitments and our will to serve. And if you're here and you've never trusted that Jesus is salvation, right from where you're viewing, I invite you to say, "Lord, I believe in you. You lead me. I trust you died for my sins and were raised from the dead." In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, if you prayed that prayer to receive Christ, click the "I raise my hand" piece in our YouTube. Let us know or text us. Hey, come back next week for week 4 of Learning to Trust God's Plan. Have a great week.